Hello there, and you're very welcome to Poem of the Week. Hello, I'm Morgan O'Reilly, and once again, you're very welcome to Poem of the Week. The series is a collaboration between Near FM, local poets, and members of the community. Each week, we will be celebrating poetry, both new and old, Irish and international, and published and unpublished work, alongside a significant date in our calendar. This week's poem is Outside History by Yvonne Boland, read now by Lorraine Harton.
These are outsiders, always. These stars, these iron inklings of an Irish January, whose light happened thousands of years before our pain did. They have always been outside history. They keep their distance. Under them remains a place where you found you were human, and a landscape in which you know you are mortal, and a time to choose between them. I have chosen. Out of myth in history, I move to be part of that ordeal whose darkness is only now reaching me from those fields, those rivers, those roads clotted as firmaments with the dead. How slowly they die as we kneel beside them, whisper in their ear. And we are too late. We are always too late.
Outside History by Yvonne Boland, read there wonderfully by Lorraine Harton. And I'm delighted to be joined by Lorraine in studio now. Lorraine, thank you very much for coming in.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about this poem, Lorraine? Why did you choose it?
Yeah, so I had heard of Yvonne Boland before. I suppose she's one of the most famous female Irish poets, but I didn't know much about her poetry. But when I knew I was coming on this segment, I had a look through her different poems, and the Outside History, I suppose, just resonated with me personally because I'm actually studying, I'm doing a history degree at the moment in DCU, and the module that I'm doing this year is about women in history. And one of the things, the first things you learn about women in history is that women tend to be completely written out of the history books.
Like if
you
read,
as she states, like if you read any history book, the only time you hear of certain women like Markovitch and people like that, and it's normally really, really well off women, or women who were in a very high level of privilege, or women who were married to very powerful men. Everybody else, otherwise you would think history was, you know, it just revolves around men, and men did everything and everything else. And actually I did. So that was one of the main reasons when I read this poem, because that's what it's all about. But I even tried to do a research project on the importance of women during the War of Independence, and I couldn't do it in the end because there is nothing about women. If I was doing maybe a PhD or something, I had more time to research but there is actually nothing about women in most during that period especially. So that was the reason why I picked it.
Yeah, and thinking about the course, I mean, you said, you know, there's very little about women in history. When you say women, do you mean, you know, those iconic figures, the Countess Markovitches, and or just women, you know,
in general. There's lots about Markovitch and Maud Gonne and different people like that, who are, again, normally not so much Markovitch, but other women who've been associated with famous men in the case of Maud Gonne. But ordinary everyday women, there's very little about them. But also the women who helped those men, you know, like the War of Independence, the Civil War, it couldn't have been fought without the help of lots and lots of women, you know, women in people talk about coming to Bonn, but they don't really talk too much about the women who were the main women who were involved in it. You know, every so often you'll read things, but it's the same women who keep coming up over and over again. And
yeah, even though I never really liked the phrase, I always thought it was a bit kind of strange and a bit chauvinistic, but you know, behind every good man behind every great man is a great woman.
I know that's the thing, but she's always behind.
Exactly.
She's never beside him there, she's always behind. So.
And Yvonne Boland was definitely, she was noted. I mean, she's a huge inspiration for a lot of contemporary Irish female poets. So, moving back to the poem, are there any, you know, we're talking about, the poem is entitled Outside History, and many people have argued that it, you know, there's a very, very clear argument here that it is women who are outside history. So are there any really strong lines or really strong images that stick out for you?
Yeah, well, I suppose the opening, she talks about the stars and how the stars are always outsiders, and that they're outside, you know, our planet. You know, some people say that one of the things that she's saying here is that we sort of tend to think we're the center of the universe, but that the stars are a lot more powerful than us, but they are always outsiders. They're just kind of bystanders there. So that there's that kind of comparison there between people who are on the outside and the stars. And then as she goes on, then she talks about how they keep their distance. But then as she goes on, she talks about she starts to, at the beginning as well, she kind of, she doesn't really talk about herself too much. She keeps saying they, under them. It's all very much from a distance. But then kind of from the second half on, she says, I've chosen out of myth and history. I moved to be part of that ideal whose darkness is only now reaching me from those fields. So again, there's some interpretations that she's saying, okay, well, now I'm deliberately putting myself in as part of history here by being a poet. I'm not a subject of a poem. Mm-hmm. Women are normally the subjects of poems, where she is saying, I'm the author of this poem now. So I am making myself part of history, but that there's almost a sense of regret there that she didn't do this before, she didn't do this long ago, and that she's only kind of really thinking about it now and contemplating it now. And then just the last image there where she talks about, like, some people think that she says about the ordeal, part of that ordeal, you know, you could take that as the famine. Part of Irish history is the famine, but it could be any number of things that have happened to Irish people in the past. But she says that, and she talks about these people who are along the roads, which she does mention in another one of her poems about people who have died from the famine, in, during the famine. And she says, how slowly they die as we kneel beside them and whisper in their ear, and we are too late. We are always too late. That's the thing about history. You can look back and say, oh, isn't it terrible that women haven't been included in the history books? And but there's nothing we can do about it now. It's too late. You know, OK, we can go back and research it. Like, if I ever do a PhD, I can go back and investigate and research about these women. But really, it's too late now. Yeah. All we can do is think about it, keep this in mind as we go forward. So I thought those, some of those images there, the stars and the people dying along the side of the road, and all you can do is whisper in their ear and kind of comfort them a little bit. But you know, it is a little bit late now.
Yeah, 100%. And I really like your point about the fact that in the second half of the poem, she moves into the I.
Yeah.
The personal, really. And it kind of links nicely back to, and I liked your the singling out of these stars, these iron inklings of an Irish January.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you said, stars are very distant, but they're also, you know, they're we all look at the stars. We all see them as these great, powerful, distant things. You know,
so
it's almost like a backhanded compliment to women. You know?
Well, that's what I'm taking it as anyway.
moving on, we've chosen this poem, or sorry, you've chosen this poem this week to coincide with the students going back to school, because mm-hmm. Evan Boland and this poem, in fact, is on the Leaving Cert. Poetry is not for everybody, mm-hmm. and that's never more true than when it's on the Leaving Cert, really.
Yeah.
And you're from an educational background yourself. You're not actually a secondary school teacher, but...
No.
I mean, moving within, I'm sure you're at educational conferences and you've got plenty of friends who are teachers. How do students relate to this? I mean, if you're an 18-year-old and you went into poetry, I mean, how do you relate to this on the page here? How do you tackle this in an exam situation?
Well, this is the thing. Well, I just remember from, because Evan Boland wasn't on the Leaving Cert when I was doing the Leaving Cert. Actually, it was, there were a lot of women on it, though, now that I think about
it.
There was,
no, I mean, the same. Yeah.
There was, I'm trying to think now. Oh, Emily Dickinson was on it. And Sylvia Plath was on it when I was doing the Leaving Cert. So they, and I think I chose them specifically because they were two of the only women I think that we'd studied in poetry. But I suppose from what I remember, it is, I had a very good English teacher, and she was just very good at breaking everything down. So you read the poem and then she'll just go through it bit by bit and talk about the different symbols, talk about the meter and all of that, but more so about what the poem actually means, how could it apply to life, how does it apply to you, but at the same time not reading into it too much, not reading into every single word too much. So that's how I would think about it. And anybody I know who... teaches poetry, and I'm doing a degree myself in history, I'm saying, but also in literature, and in my first year there we did go into poetry a lot, and that's what our lecturer did with us. She was just very good at breaking it down and breaking down the different symbols and what they all represent and how they link in and linking into the poet's life as well, which I know is just, it's one theory or one way of reading a poem. You could read it from a historical context as well. So I suppose it's that, linking it into the poet but also linking it into the historical context as well, because that's what I like about it personally, because then you can link it, then it links into history. So
yeah,
I suppose if you can try and
you.
Like, and it is difficult for a 17 17 or 18 year old. Although the thing is, though, actually, now that I think, so I teach film and journalism and media in Clonsilla, yeah, the College of Further Ed. And on the journalism course, the amount of students who come into us who write poetry, guys and girls, because we got a lot of guys in and a lot of them write poetry. So actually, I think at that age, they're almost more into poetry than they are, because there's something very dramatic about poetry, and our poems are always so dramatic and so dark.
Yeah, I'm sure,
they're so dark, and these lovely, bubbly people come in and then they have these like really, really dark poems. It's great though that they're writing it, but that's one thing I noticed. So I actually think maybe when you're 17 or 18,
that's interesting.
It appeals to you more, because it's all about the soul, and it's all about how people really feel and think. And you're probably a little bit maybe more open to that when you're 17 or 18, as opposed to when you're in your 20s or your 30s, you know?
Arguably.
And that's been kicked to ideas. Interesting
point. Listen, Lorraine, it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks, William, for having me.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Great, thank you.
Lorraine Harton is an independent film producer and currently works in teaching higher education in Cláiste Dúlag. Evan Boland is an Irish poet, author and academic who has published numerous books of poetry. Her work has been quoted at formal occasions by figures like Bertie Ahern and Barack Obama, and in recent years she has gained a new generation of readers, as many of her poems are now studied on the Leaving Cert. She remains one of Ireland's foremost artists and is currently based in the USA, where she has been teaching at Stanford University since 1996. That's it from us for this week. A big thank you to this week's contributor, our production team and everyone at Near FM, and also to Paula Meehan for her advice and support on this series. Join us next time for Poem of the Week. Good luck and God bless.
Nearcast.
Nearcast, your community podcast network. Listen to podcasts about society, people, poetry, board games, and many other topics. Subscribe to a programme today. Learn more at nearcast.ie and find out how you can get involved.